2 Timothy chapter 4, 9 through 22. We're ending this study in 2 Timothy, a life of no regrets. Please stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God by standing when we read His Word. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Lioness, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Now again, these are Paul's last words, literally his last word in Testament. He's going to be facing death very, very soon. For the last time, it may be in your life, the theme of 2 Timothy is, hold fast, preach the word, be strong. All right, good job. Hopefully we'll never forget that. Because that's the admonition that we must have in this epoch of time. To hold fast, preach the word, and be strong. Now last time we were in 2 Timothy, Timothy was saying, he's saying his death is imminent, and he really wants to end his life with no regrets. No regrets. When Paul was in Ephesus, on his way to Jerusalem to be tried, he tells the Ephesian elders that he knows that tribulations and afflictions await him. He knows what he's facing. He knows the difficulties that he's going to be facing. He knows that his fate has been determined by God. He's going to die for the cause. Okay? He's encouraging Timothy, who has a timid spirit, to have no regrets. He has no regrets. I don't care how many shipwrecks I've been in. I don't care how many times I've been whipped with the lashes, with the rods, snake bit. I don't care about any of that stuff. I have no regrets on the course that I have been on with my God. And that's what he's telling Timothy. And he's encouraging him to follow his example. I don't know if you remember in 3:13, but he said this, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. He said, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Timothy, remember that. All of this word is God-breathed. Get your strength from this word. It comes straight from God to you. Get it from him. And then he says, preach the word in 4:2. Preach the word in season and out of season. When you're ready, when you're not ready. Preach the word. That's what the people need to hear, the word of God. And then he said, fulfill your ministry in 4:5. And then he says, end your fight strong. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Many folks, many are strong at the beginning, and like a marathon, you hit that 20-mile mark and fizzle at the end. Paul is saying, be strong at the end, stronger at the end than when you started your journey. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Timothy, keep going. Now, for you today, for us today, just a quick word. The pressure is mounting in our culture for us to defect, to abandon ship, to compromise our values. Would you agree with that? Yes. It's kind of like universal. This is what's happening to us, okay? To go back to old ways, to old thinkings, and that sort of thing. Don't do it. Now, some things that will help you, three things actually that will help you that we've already discussed that you want to indelibly imprint in your mind if you can remember these. Number one, you can finish strong. You can finish strong. Any Christian can finish strong if they rely on this. 2 Peter 1:3, remember, it's his divine power that gives us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Rely on that. And that comes from the Father. That comes from the Father. Watch what comes from Jesus. To finish strong, stay connected to your power source. That'll be Jesus. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay connected to the Lord Jesus. You want to finish strong, stay connected to him. And finally, to finish strong, live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts 1:8? You shall receive what? Power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dunamis power. Every Greek word that starts with duna means what? Capable. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. You got an A. Thank you. Yes. Start strong, finish strong, folks. Now, many in the church, just this as I mentioned, many are abandoning ship, aren't they? Many are tares among the wheat. The wheat is the good stuff, and a tare looks just like the wheat until the judgment. You can't tell the difference until the judgment. They look good, smell good, sound good, start strong, and fizzle at the end. Folks, there are going to be people that start the race and people who drop out of the race. Drop out of the race. The question is how will you finish? And I'll tell you, that remains to be seen. We talked about this before. Everybody thinks, I want to finish strong. I'll finish strong. That remains to be seen, folks. That remains to be seen how you will finish. Remember, perseverance is a mark of genuineness. Perseverance is a mark of genuineness. Perseverance is a mark that God's divine power is working in you. You're not going to finish strong on your own. It's not you that finishes strong. It's God in you that allows you to finish strong. Watch this. In Matthew 24:13, he says this, he who endures or perseveres to the end shall be saved. Do you hear that? He's talking, they're talking about tribulation saints here in context. But he who endures or perseveres to the end shall be saved. Now, this week we're going to be talking about having a life. You have one life. This is your life. This is your time frame. This is your line, your lifeline. Now, you think it's long. Look at eternity. You can't even see your line. It is so teeny, you don't even see it. That's why life is a vapor here for a moment, gone. Whether you're 6 months old or 95 years old, vapor, gone. This week, a life of no regrets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. Thank you for the life of Paul and what an example he is. Lord, help us to finish strong this race that you've set before us. Each one of us are on a race. We know that your spirit is in us. Lord, if we're genuine, we will persevere. Help us, Lord, to learn things today that we do not know and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a life of no regrets. Listen to this. Realize in your life, I think you realize this, good things happen and bad things happen. Is that a surprise to you? No, but it was. Paul's going to tell you this. So be diligent to come to me quickly. He's talking to Timothy. Verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. That would be a bad thing. That would be a bad thing. He's abandoned me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Now, Crescens, these guys are looked at as the good guys. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Now, some are going to stick with you, and some people will abandon you. That's how life is. You've probably realized that up to now. That's not anything magic. Demas started strong, and then Demas fizzled. He started strong. We see this slow fate of Demas. In Philemon 1:24, he's listed among the group who Paul calls his fellow laborers. Oh, Demas is right with us, man. He's laboring with us. He's with us. In Colossians 4:14, there's no comment about him at all. Just mention his name. Nothing is attached to it. And in the text that we have today, Demas has deserted. Demas has abandoned us. Demas faded. Demas faded. He loved the world. Bit by bit, a fellow laborer had become a deserter. The title of honor became a title of shame. Paul said, he has forsaken me. That means utterly abandoned. And it doesn't mean just abandoned. It means abandon and leave someone in dire straits. In other words, I really needed this dude, and when he left, it crippled me. That happens in relationships, folks. That happens all the time. Now, why did he do this? What in the world happened to Demas? That's what we want to know. What happened to Demas? Well, the same thing that can happen to most people. He loved this present world. That's what his problem was, and he faded. Demas did not count the cost. It started to get hard. Paul started to get persecuted. Demas saw this, got a little concerned, got a little more attracted to the world than he was what Paul was going through. Demas may have been swept into the church in a moment of emotion, folks. That happens all the time. Somebody gets a great talk, or there's an altar call, some people come running up, and I'm saved! Are they really? Are they really? Genuineness is proved by perseverance. Really, it really is. It really is. Look, in America and in the West, I've mentioned this like 10,000 times, but just for this talk again, there's little cost. There's little cost. You might be belittled a little bit. Someone might talk about you. Okay? You're a Christian? You really believe that? Might be face a little bit of emotional distress. Now, I will relent that this is becoming more common and it is becoming more bitter. It is. Okay? But it doesn't cost your life like it does in India or an Islamic country or your family or your friends. Jesus was very clear when you become a follower of him, very clear, you must count the cost of following him. Demas did not count it. In Luke chapter 14, we see these words talking about discipleship. Now, great multitudes. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus does. Everybody wants to build a monstrosity of church. And they will say whatever people want to hear in order to build numbers. Okay? Don't challenge them on sin. Don't challenge their lifestyle. Watch what Jesus does. He's just the opposite. Great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, he starts talking. He's thinning a crowd. He's thinning a crowd. Now that hate means to love less. Doesn't mean a vehement hate, but to love them greater than him is what he's talking about. Is wrong. Does not hate, love less his father and mother, his wife, his children, brothers and sisters. Yes, in his own life also cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross. Now, is that happy news? Is that seeker-friendly news? Oh, you're going to have to bear a cross. Jesus is telling the multitudes this. He's not all concerned about, he's looking for genuine folks that are going to follow him. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. Whoever does not bear his cross, that means die to yourself life. That's what bearing your cross is. It's not just your burden, it's dying to yourself life. And come up after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Count the cost. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's too costly. I don't want to change. I don't want to do this or that because I don't want to pay that price. Watch what Peter says. Peter says in Luke 18, 28, after Jesus does a teaching on a rich young ruler, after he does a teaching on who with wealth can enter the kingdom of God, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Peter's all concerned that he's given stuff up to follow Jesus. Now watch what Jesus says to him. Because you've given things up to follow Jesus. You've changed your lifestyle. You've changed your friend group. You've changed your language. You've changed where you go. You stay in things because it's what Christ told you to do, even though it's uncomfortable. Okay? This is what happens. Watch what Peter says. Then Peter says, see, we have left all and followed you. We've left all, everything. And he said to them, he addresses more than just Peter, the rest of the group. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children or anything else in your life for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time. You hear that? In this present time. Those are blessings in this present time. And in the age to come, eternal life. Everybody says, oh, well, great. It's eternal life. What's going to... God says, now I will bless you. You hear that? That's what he told Peter. That's the truth. That's the truth of it. It will cost you to follow God, but it is worth it. Now, listen to this. It's worth it all now and into the future. It is worth it. Now into the future. Now, what happened to Demas? What happens to friends that you knew that were in and now out, who were burning with passion for Christ and now they have nothing to do with him, want nothing to do with his people, want nothing to do with his word, want nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever? What happens to those people? Now, there are carnal Christians. I'm not saying that you can't be backslidden and be saved and that sort of thing. But you don't know. That's the whole problem there. You don't know what's really going on there. Thankfully, we're not the judge. But what happened to Demas? What happens when kids go to college and they get challenged by a professor? What happens to these people that were in youth groups and now they don't want anything to do with Jesus? That thing, that's your thing, Dad. That's not mine. What happened to them? Well, Herbert Locklear says this. He gives an excellent picture on what happened to Demas and what happens to a lot of folks, I think. Under the strong influence of Paul's personality, Demas was converted. Becoming a disciple, he was carried away by the enthusiasm of sacrifice. He wanted to live with Paul and die with him and have a throne and a halo among the martyred saints. It was hip, hip, hooray, I'm in. But, when Demas came up to the great capital of the then known world in company with the Lord's prisoners, Paul and Epaphras, it was a different story. It was a different story. He was not a prisoner, and gradually the contrast between the cell and the outer world became intolerable to him. He saw the magnificent halls of the Caesars, the gorgeous homes of the rich and famous, the glitter of the world of music, the loves, the jests, the wine. Such a joyful world cast its glamour over Demas, and he yielded to its charms. You don't think the world isn't charming you, drawing you? The prison where his friends were languishing seemed wretched alongside the music-haunted, scented, dazzling halls of Rome. Thus, Paul had to write one of the most heartbreaking lines in his letters, "Demas has forsaken me," right at a time when Paul needed him the most. Folks, this happens every day. But in contrast, this is what also happens every day. Crescens did not desert. He was honorable. Titus, honorable. Luke, honorable. Tychius, honorable. All of these guys. Mark was honorable. Mark did abandon ship for a time, but he was reconciled with Paul and is finishing strong. So that's encouragement. We can get off track for a time and be restored to right relationship. All these folks are under Paul's teaching and influence, just like Demas. All the successful ones were just like Demas, okay? He had Paul's teaching. What's the difference? What in the world is the difference in a Demas and these other guys that have pressed through? Well, I will suggest to you that the answer is going to be found in 1 John chapter 2. Watch this. Because Demas loved the world, that's why he abandoned ship. He did not want to give up his world stuff. And the world is a lure. The world is a lure. Watch what he says. John says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. He's talking about these people that are saved. Verse 12 through 14 are characteristics of genuine believers. And then he says in verse 15, do not love the world. He's talking to real believers. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Don't be mesmerized like a snake charmer with a cobra. And all of a sudden, you're charming the snake. Don't be mesmerized by the world. And he makes this statement, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You hear that? That's a key thing. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And watch what is happening. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. Oh, but hear this. But he who does the will of God abides forever, forever. What is the will of God? That you know his son for real. What did Demas? Demas loved this world, proving that he wasn't genuine. Demas was not genuine. He loved the world more than he loved Jesus. Now think about this. The world will always have its attraction. It will always have its fun. It will always be drawing you. And the world will always lie to you and tell you that it's okay to do what you're doing. You know that, don't you? Because the king of the world is a liar. That's Satan, okay? Those in Christ can see through the smoke and mirrors, the glitz and the glamour. And remember, every human being is birthed into the kingdom of darkness. And that's why everyone is comfortable in the world. They love the world. They're familiar with the world. The world is home to them. So something has to happen. And I'll tell you, you are birthed in the kingdom of darkness is the reason that you must be born again. Born again. You have to have a spirit born within you. So you must be extracted from this world system. Now watch this. God will extract you when you believe and receive him as your Savior. Now watch this. When you believe and receive the gift of salvation, God forcibly extracts you from the kingdom of the world and places you in the kingdom of his Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 has a very critical word that you're going to have to know here. He has delivered us. Who is the he? Father has delivered us from the power of darkness, from Satan's power, and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The transfer occurs because Jesus redeemed us, Jesus forgave us, and now we've been transferred. But watch this. The word delivered us, delivered is this. It's rumai. It's R-U-O-M-A-I. And it means to draw with force, violence, to draw out of danger, to be ripped out of Satan's clutches, to liberate or to set free. Now, he who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. He has ripped you out of the clutches. You know, Satan wants to hold on to you. He's got your shirt. He wants you, God has ripped you out and placed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love, whom he has saved. That is what has happened. It's been a violent extraction from the kingdom of darkness. Now think about this. Those who are extracted from the world and placed into God's kingdom, as they grow, listen to this, as they grow, become less and less at home here. That is why someone that is just born again has this tendency to drift back to this pigsty of where they were delivered from. But as you are growing in Christ, as you come to know him in a greater way, you realize something that just strikes you. I'm not at home here. This is not my home. I don't even belong here. And then you start saying, why am I here? Well, you're here to carry out the mission that God has given you. That's why you're here. And when you're no longer of value, or he says that you've accomplished your task, guess what? You get extracted. Boom, you get to leave. That's hip, hip, hooray. For all of us that are remaining, it's, oh, they're gone, I can't believe it. But for us who are saved, hip, hip, hooray. That's what it is. Demas was not genuine. Demas was a tare. He was a goat. He was a false convert. At the most critical point in Paul's life, Demas has forsaken me. Remember, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, Paul had a lot of disappointments, but Paul had no regrets. No regrets. Verse 13, a life of no regrets. At crunch time, help your friends. Verse 13, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Now remember, Paul's alone. He's deserted. He's in a cold cell. He has physical needs. Hey, Timothy, bring the cloak. I need a coat. It's cold here. Okay? But he also had a spiritual need. He also had a spiritual need. He needed the parchments. He needed it for his mind. He was in a crunch situation. He needed it in his mind. That's what we need in crunch time. The Word of God to stabilize our minds. Paul gained solace, comfort from the Word until his death. There was no quitting. There was no whining with Paul. No whatever. He stayed in it. Now there's a lesson for us. Paul needed spiritual food to make it through, and so do we. Paul found solace in God's word until he died. Whatever you are facing, find comfort, find solace in God's word. Now look, there's going to be physical things that come upon you. There's going to be emotional things that come upon you. There's going to be trials and tribulations and stuff of life. Instead of biting your fingernails down to the quick, turn to your power source. Turn to the Word of God. Be filled with His Spirit, filled with His power, filled with encouragement. Psalm 119, 49, 50 says this. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. Let that word hope just kind of resonate for a second. This is my comfort, and in my affliction, that affliction is in my depression, misery, or suffering. Isn't that what happens to us? You know that depression is more and more and more common as this culture has become more and more immersed in an overwhelming input of information into your mind. Information, bad stuff coming into your mind constantly. In the 1940s, in the 1950s, in the 1960s, you had 15 minutes of news that was bad. And the rest of your day, you know, 23 hours and 45 minutes, you had none of that stuff. Today, you have it constantly, constantly. You don't think it doesn't affect people's brains? It does. That's why you see more people struggling with these issues, because they've been inundated with the world and its troubles, and they've been divorced from the God who can help them through it. That's what has happened. In my afflictions, for your word has given me life. The word brings hope. The word brings comfort. The word brings life. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for the length of days, long life and peace. My word peace they will add to you. Honor God by helping your friends and have no regrets. Folks, people need people. We all need friends. We all need help. Verse 14 through 16, a life of no regrets. Live with a spirit of forgiveness. I'll tell you, this is imperative. If you want to have any hope and joy, you must have a spirit of forgiveness. Verse 14 through 16, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him. Now notice that Paul did not say, may I stick my fingers in his eye. Okay, he didn't say that. May I punch him in the nose. He didn't say that. He said, may the Lord repay him. According to his works, you must also be aware of him. He's warning Timothy, for he has greatly resisted our words. And then he goes on to say, at my defense, no one stood with me. He was alone. But all forsook me. Now, you would be a little ticked off, wouldn't you? All your friends forsaken you. May it not be charged against him. Paul had a spirit of forgiveness. Alexander hurt Paul deeply. Ever happened to you? Ever been hurt deeply, right to the quick, right to your inner being? That's what Alexander did. That's what Demas did to Paul. The Lord repay him. He doesn't say, I take retribution. Folks, your job is to forgive. God's job is to repay. Your job is to forgive. And granted, it will take a miracle in many situations for God to give you a spirit of forgiveness. We can't just ramp it up. But I'll tell you, it's healthy for you to forgive. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, Timothy, beware of Alexander. He's got bad stuff for you. Be on your guard against him, but don't fear him. You know why? Because fear of man is a snare. But those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. Proverbs 29, 25. Everyone was deserting him. You know, Stephen had a spirit of forgiveness. He said, just like Jesus, forgive them. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. And for us, like Paul, live a life of no regrets and remember that a spirit of forgiveness is honoring to God. It pleases God, okay? Unforgiveness is not honoring to God and is destructive to you. Hear that. If you're harboring resentment, if you will not forgive and let it go, you are the one that will be hurt. The person that is the perpetrator is whistling through life, and you're torn up inside because you have not forgiven and let it go. Okay. Verse 17 and 18, a life of no regrets. Through all the stuff of life, know this. Know that the Lord stood with me. Timothy, know that he did this. 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me. Don't you need that in your crunch? Don't you need that when everybody else has abandoned you? Don't you need that when you feel abjectly alone and disappointed? But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, which is an idiom for mortal danger. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To make it through the stuff that you have to stand alone in, God standing with you, you have to have an eternal perspective that this is passing and that's going to be good. Okay? Just a thought. Now, deserted by his friends, but not by God, he has four things that will help you to press on. Number one, always remember this, you are never, ever, ever, say ever, ever, ever alone, ever alone. The Lord stood with me. The Holy Spirit is the rod of iron where up your spine to allow you to stand. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord stood with me. That's what you need to know. Secondly, the Lord strengthened me. And what kind of strength do we need? We need mind strength. Mind strength. Okay? He strengthens your mind. Remember, you have those pillars. Remember, we did that teaching from Missler about the pillars in your mind. Boaz and Yakin. God is my strength. God makes me immovable. I won't be moved by what is happening against me. And what was he strengthened for? Well, his mission was to preach the word to the Gentiles. He moved on. The circumstances didn't stop him. He moved on. He was delivered from a lion, from mortal danger. He pressed on. You will need all of God's strength to carry out your mission. You have a mission. I don't care if you're a parent. I don't care if you're a school teacher, a plumber, whatever you are in life. For all of it, you will need his strength to make it through. There's a lot of disappointments here. There's disappointments in the workplace. There's disappointments in families. There's disappointments in friendships. There's disappointments at every level. You will need his strength to make it through. And he has given you his strength. So walk in it. Walk in it. Number three, God will rescue you from every evil attack. Isn't that nice? I'm going to be rescued. I mean, when that chopper comes in and you're bobbing around in the water and they lower that life preserver and you're rescued. I mean, just think of that feeling. Didn't think you were going to make it. Didn't think you had a chance. And you've been extracted to safety. He will get you safely home. And finally, God will give you courage in your darkest hour because his strength is in you. Verse 19 through 22, a life of no regrets. He ends it with this. Take time to say goodbye to your friends. Okay? Greet Prisca if you have a New King James, but it's actually Priscilla. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophius I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul's friends are recorded forever in history, in God's word. Isn't that amazing? You never heard these people before, but forever they are in God's word. Nobody knows who the Pharaoh was. No one knows who Caesars were, except Caesar Augustus, because it's in God's word. There's a whole bunch of them. Nobody knows who they were. But these people who were nothing in the world are recorded forever because they're rightly related with God. Friends. Friends forever. No deserters in this group. No deserters in this group. Friends forever. But I want you to think about Trophimus. Trophimus. He was left in Miletus sick. Now I ask you, did Paul have the gift of healing? Yes, he had the gift of healing. Is healing for everyone today? No, it's not. It's not. I mean, we want to claim our healings. We want to pray by faith and that sort of thing and believe God. But Paul, with the gift of healing, had to leave his friend there. Now listen, God is sovereign and healing depends on the sovereign will of God for his glory and for his purpose. It's for his will be done. Even Jesus in Gethsemane prayed, not my will, Father, but your will be done. We have to remember that. And you also have to remember that everyone will at some point not be healed here. But we will be healed, all of us, eventually. Isn't that nice to know? I'm getting a new body. I'm telling you, it is going to be hip, hip, hooray time. And I'm hoping that they have basketball in heaven and I can dunk. And I'm hoping I'm 6'10 and you're 5'10 like I am. And I can just have a blast for eternity stuffing that ball. Yeah, okay. You have your own dream. You have yours. Yeah. Farewell, my friends. Paul, to the end, had friends and no regrets. Take time to be a friend. We need friends. And friends go out of their way for their friends. Conclusion, a life of no regrets only comes with a life dedicated and poured out to the Master. It is not a self-life. If you look at all people that are living a self-life, they finish with tons of regret. Tons of regret. Do you think Demas finished without regrets? No, I bet he had regrets. How about the rich young ruler who said, I'll do everything. I've kept all the commandments. You think he finished with regrets when he would not give up his riches? That guy had regrets by the end. And what about Judas, who betrayed Jesus? He had regrets. Yeah. Think about this. There's going to be a warning here. A final word. Final words are important words. Paul's life will be ending, and he's going to give a warning. He's going to give a warning to Timothy, and he's going to give a warning to you today, to us today. Some people will desert you. Family, friends, teammates, ministry partners, whatever category you want to list it in, some people will desert you. Timothy, these are the ones that deserted me in my darkest hour and tried to harm me, talking about Alexander. People will do this. Even the most unexpected will do this, okay? You must not be rocked, your world not be rocked when this happens. Just so you know. So that's a warning, but an encouragement. Here's an encouragement. The Lord will never desert you. Now, isn't that's like a yay. I can just give that. He's going to stick with me. The Lord stood with me. And you will never, ever, ever, and how many evers you want to put, ever, regret following Jesus, ever. And Timothy, take up my mantle. Know this, Timothy. Know these few things at the end. Know the Lord stood with me and he will stand with you. Know the Lord strengthened me, Timothy, and he will strengthen you. And I'm telling you, these are for each one of us today. Know that the Lord rescued me from every evil attack and he will rescue you. And know that the Lord will get me safely home and he will get you safely home. That's what you want to remember. You want to remember that? Know that the Lord is with your spirit and his grace and favor is with you. What a book. What a life. What a man of God. What an example to follow, the Apostle Paul. His life all the way to the death. No regrets. Let me give you a story in closing about William Borden. He was a man with no regrets. He was the heir to the Borden milk fortune. Okay. In 1904, William Borden, a member of the Borden Dairy family, finished high school in Chicago and was given a world cruise as a graduation present. Particularly while traveling through the Near East and Far East, he became heavily burdened for the lost. Now, why did that happen? This is an anecdote. God impressed it upon him. God impressed it upon him. After returning home, he spent 7 years at Princeton University, the first 4 in undergraduate work and the last 3 in seminary. While in school, he penned these words in the back of his Bible, no reserves. No reserves. Hold nothing back. That's what he's talking about. Hold nothing back. No reserves. Although his family pleaded with him to take control of the business, which was foundering or collapsing, he insisted that God's call to the mission field had priority. After disposing of all of his wealth, he was all in, wasn't he? Disposed of all of his wealth, he added, no retreat after no reserves. No reserves, no retreat, no going back. On his way to China to witness to the Muslims there, he contracted cerebral meningitis in Egypt and died within a month. After his death, someone looking through his Bible discovered these final words, no regrets. Now, you would think this was a failure, wouldn't you? No regrets. He knew that the Lord does not require success, only faithfulness. Isn't that great? May you be faithful and have no reserves. Hold nothing back, folks. No retreat. No turning back to the old you. And finish with no regrets. Folks, leave it all on the field. That's a sports idiom for you give your best effort and not have any regrets that I should have tried harder on the field. Leave it all on the field. This is our field. This is our life. This is our time. Leave it all here. We are to work while it is light, for dark is coming when no man can work. This is it. This is our time to shine for the Master. This is our time. This is our time. You can shine no matter where you're at. You can shine when you're going to work. You can shine as a parent. You can shine as a child. You can shine as a mate. You can shine when you're going into some sort of tragedy. You can shine when you're going into the hospital and have to face some mess. You can shine. And you can say, I'm trusting God no matter what. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Folks, live a life of no regrets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to study your word. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the Apostle Paul. I'm so thankful that this man gave such a great example all the way to the end. I mean, he's getting ready to have his head lopped off, and he wants to read your word. He's not throwing the Bible away. He's not all discouraged. He gets strength from your word. May we learn from this. May we realize that stuff is going to happen while we're here. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord will get me safely home. The Lord is the answer to our problems. Thank you that we have you to turn to in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we adore you. What a God. What a Savior. What a King. What an honor to serve you. What an honor. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.